do come out, and anything else can stay still.
Alright.
Okay. So, don't put a little wire in, don't move around. Okay. That's not my comfort zone, I'm just gonna say. Completely out of my comfort zone, standing still, being. Yeah. Is it lovely? I don't have to be quiet. So, there you go. If I have to be quiet, that's what I'm saying. Okay. I used to have to, that's fine. There you go, save me. Come on, Adrian, save me. Just leave it there, and then I really can't hold. Okay, just leave it there. Turn to feet to Romans 8, if you will. Okay. Can we move these papers now, Adrian? Put on the papers, hopefully. It's okay, it's all good, it's all safe. Okay. So, we are starting our journey on the Holy Spirit. Now, and I know some people, and I'm just going to give Portia permission here, if I'm talking too fast, just go slow down, okay? So, I can't move, I'm going to speak fast. Okay. So, we're just touching on the Holy Spirit. We're more than touching on it. We're going to be digging deep into who is the Holy Spirit, what does that look like for each of us. And I know when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it can cause all sorts of things inside of us. Some people get scared by it. Some people get freaked out by it. And then some people love it. You've all met Mabel. We all know Mabel loves the Holy Spirit, okay? And so we're just going to go on a journey together. We don't want to force anything on anybody, we're just going on a journey. And how many of us, we're looking at the assurance of the Holy Spirit today, okay? How many of us recognize that every single day can feel like a battle? Just me, just Janet. Oh, yeah, we've got a few more. Oh, well, there you go. Just at the back there. Okay, my battles day to day vary. Normally, as soon as I wake up, because I need to get my husband out of bed, my daughter out of bed, and that can be a battle in itself. How many of you can recognize? If you've got teenagers, getting them out of bed is hard work. Or even just children, young children, yeah. Trying to get them. Charisse is waving like mad at the back there. She's like, yes, that's me, that's me. Okay, and then you go down for breakfast in the morning. What do you want for breakfast? There's no food in the house. No, there is. It's just the food you don't want. And then you get the McDonald's today. Oh, can I have McDonald's breakfast? No. And then there's nothing in the house. Okay, we have these day-to-day battles. And then I go to school and I work with struggling young people. Who then ask for more food and say we don't have any food in the school. I'm like, it's crazy. And then we have our own personal battles. Looking in the mirror. How many of you can sometimes look in the mirror and go, oh, I don't like what I see? I really struggle with that. I've really struggled with that over many, many years. And thankfully, God's done a work in me. We do. We face daily battles. Okay, will we choose to live our lives in a way that's according to God's word? There's a battle there. In our workplaces, we hear, you know, coarse joking, see greed, racism, you know, division, sexism. You know, we see all of that in our workplaces. And none of that's okay. In our schools, our universities, what we can see is that we're surrounded by an ideology that isn't biblical truth. As teachers, we're being asked to teach things that we don't believe in, and it causes this conflict inside what the Spirit of the Bible says and what the world says, and it can cause such a daily battle within us. And it's so easy to feel that we don't belong. I so want to move right now. Okay, so if I do that now, just because my legs need to move, okay? It's so easy to feel like we don't belong and that we feel like we're outsiders. And it'd be so much easier if somehow we could just exist outside of the world. With all this stuff going on, it can sometimes be easier to just exist out there and not actually be in the experience and go through the experience. But John 17:14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not the world anymore than I am of the world. So when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we receive his word. We receive him. And for me, that's pretty good. I like the fact that I receive him. And he says to us that we're no longer in the world, that's where we're from. We're not of the world. It's just where we've come from. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, we are in Christ, a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And as humans, we have such a desire to belong. We want to be part of our groups, we want to be part of, we want to be connected, because we're all about relationship, we want to belong. But so often we can belong in the wrong places. I want to share a little testimony around, a little story around what it was like for me as a teenager. My teenager was gone, so that's fine. But I was not one of the popular kids or one of the popular teenagers at school. And I would often go along with whatever the trend was at that time in the group, in the cohort. So I remember once I was probably year 9, year 10, and one of the girls, we were all good, there's a tight-knit group of girls, but you always felt like you weren't quite meeting the standard of the girl, the head girl of the group kind of thing. Okay, there was this head girl, and she did something, everybody else went along with it. And there was one of the girls in the group that started to be pushed aside. And this girl said, we're all going to make fun of her. She had ginger hair. She wore her makeup quite thick. And it was, you know, sometimes you get an orange line down the side of your face. It was particularly bad that day. This girl at the top of the group was like, right, we're all going to pick on her today. And sadly, to my shame, I joined in. Because I wanted to belong. Because I knew if I went against this girl, then I was going to be pushed out. And I didn't fancy being picked on or teased. Okay? And I did anything to be accepted. Anything to be accepted by what the world and what this group were doing. And I also, you know, things like leaving school site without permission, you know, swearing, things like that, just to impress. And one girl said to me once, why are you swearing? You never swear. And really challenged me, and made me really think, oh, you know, we don't swear, my kids are not allowed to swear. And it was, but it's not impressive. You just suddenly wanted to feel accepted. So as I said, we've started this journey of the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What does he look like? And one of the things that we were looking at central, and I think you may have been looking at here, is the all. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So let's all say that together. All truth.
All truth.
Okay. All that belongs to the Father. It all belongs to Jesus.
It all belongs to Jesus.
And the Spirit makes it known to us. Okay. So that's all, everything. And the Spirit makes it known to us. And Gareth was sharing last week at Central where, you know, the Spirit is in us, but it also rests on us. So we're going to walk through Romans 8 today. We're going to do a journey through Romans 8. And Romans is a book that I would say is worth reading in one sitting, because you really get a sense of Paul's narrative. So he spends the first 6 chapters of Romans, okay, explaining the freedom that we have in Christ. Still want to move. Okay? So all of us have been baptized into Christ and have become dead to what we were. Okay, so it's all got laid down. Our old selves were literally buried, as Jesus was buried. Jesus' full and complete work on the cross, and there was no deficit or lack in what he did. And when we live in accordance with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit remembers and leads and guides us into everything that Jesus taught us. So when we're feeling like, oh, it's not good, the Holy Spirit shows us what we need to be doing. And the Spirit helps us to be obedient to his word and show our love for Christ. And then in chapter 7, Paul then seems to realise that he needs to do a bit of a pivot and actually bring a little bit of balance for us and show us that, you know, the battle we have in our flesh is real. And he describes those struggles. So he's saying, I've got to be like this, but actually, he's been the struggle, I see. So here's my struggle. And then we get to chapter 8, where he describes the overcoming. And the assurance, and the overcoming and the assurance of his Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, I love the word assurance. Makes me feel like, okay, it's good to go, we're okay. And as we live in the Spirit, we overcome the flesh. So let's start here. So let's start with verse 6. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So how does the Holy Spirit help us navigate our day-to-day? So we were once under a legal judgment of sin and death. And it was the Holy Spirit that was called the Spirit of Life as an opening into the souls of believers. We have the Spirit of Life within us. And in John 4:14, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We have been sanctified. And when we're sanctified, we are free from sin, set apart, and we've been made holy. This is such a powerful truth to live from. We have been set apart. So what does it say next? For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus was in reality in our flesh, okay? He was made in reality of our flesh, but only in the likeness of its sinful condition. So Jesus was human, and he understood our flaws. Now, how many of us here feel like we've got some flaws? I know I have some flaws, okay? We all have them, but he experienced Jesus experienced humanity in the same way as we do. And he took our nature, compassed with insecure infirmities, with nothing to distinguish him as man from sinful man. Okay? If you were to put Jesus in the middle of the room, here and now, we wouldn't know in those days. You wouldn't have known. Okay? Some people did know. But if you were to sit Jesus down, okay, they would know. Although, the one thing he was without was sin. He did not sin. Sin isn't a property, okay? It's not a property of humanity at all. But it's the disordered state of our soul. So it came from when Adam fell, okay? It comes from that. It's a disordered state of our soul. Remember that the law was set in place to show mankind that in our own strength, our flesh would never be able to come to a place where we're right for God. We cannot do things in our own strength. We try to pursue things in our own strength. But God is all we need. Jesus is all we need. The Holy Spirit is all we need. Let's have a look at a couple of Old Testament incredibly godly, or as being held as incredibly godly in the Old Testament. David, the man of worship, deserved a time that was not the covenant. Okay, he lived in a time where there was no separation between man and God. But he committed adultery. And he particularly wasn't a really good dad either. Okay? So his children's greed and pride to grow. Okay, his children's greed, he allowed them to get greedy, he allowed their pride to grow. He wasn't a great dad. And what about Moses? He didn't receive and enter the promised land. Because although he was fit, God seen he was fit to bring the law, he lost his temper and frustration. And that stopped him from entering the promised land. Do we want to miss out on what God has for us? Do we want to miss those things that God is calling us to? It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to look at what the world says and to follow agendas, to follow the rhythm. But actually what God is saying is let's stick to the words and stick to his truth. So from 5 again, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So about you, but I quite like that verse there. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. When the Holy Spirit is in control, when the Holy Spirit is guiding us day by day, we live in life and in peace. Brings life and peace. So why would you want to choose anything different? You know, I know for me, sometimes I feel like I live my life in chaos. We can live in a balance of that madness. Like I said, you know, those day-to-day challenges, of just getting my daughter out of bed in the morning, I'm so glad she's not here. Okay, don't have that. Okay, so it can feel so chaotic, and I really have to dig deep sometimes not to get so cross and frustrated with her and to have this ungodly reaction towards my daughter because she's, and it's the same when we encounter other people, when we disagree with someone, we can suddenly get these feelings inside and we have to remember that the Spirit is life and peace. And often, one of my top tips is when I'm fighting that I'm getting really frustrated with my daughter or with my husband, it does happen. Gareth isn't perfect, okay? I stand there and just go, Holy Spirit, I need you right now. I need you to guide me, to give me peace, and to help me love my daughter beyond the circumstance that I'm in right now. And things shift. That is a testimony. Things shift. And so it's like, oh, I get this pleasant side of my daughter. I go, oh, thanks, Mum. It's It's amazing. So try it. If you've got teenagers and they're starting to push a button, just say, Holy Spirit, give me peace. Okay. There's a day-to-day choice that we have to make. Each day, you've got to follow a path of the world or where the Spirit leads you. Little giveaway here, they're not the same path, okay? So you cannot walk in two paths. It's very, very difficult. I've been there, I've done that, I've tried it. Sort of walking, you're sort of doing this a little bit. And then sometimes the path gets a bit wider, and then you have to, it's good for exercise maybe when you're in your exercise classes, but not when you're walking line. It's not, it just doesn't work. We have a choice to make. Do we follow the path of the world and the noise they're making, or do we go where the Spirit leads? Now it's really interesting because at this moment in time, there is so much noise from the world. So much noise of different things. You can choose who you want to be. You can choose what you want to be. You can go this way, you can go that way, it doesn't matter. And there's so much confusion in the world. And one thing that I know is that the church has become really, really quiet in some of these things. They're willing to compromise. They're willing to follow the path of the world. But that's not what the Bible says. We need to be Bible-believing. We need to know the truth that the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us. There is a day-to-day choice that we have to make. We have to make it daily. And if you want to let the Holy Spirit lead your life and walk by the Spirit, it's a conscious choice. You've got to have a conscious choice to do that. Because one of the things that, there's a lovely lady that I work with at TLG, and she's been at TLG many years, over 20 years, and Matt will know her, Helen. And she often says to me, Rachel, it's taken a lot for me to keep the old girl down. Now I'm like, what do you mean by that? She said, I died to myself, so the old girl is her old self before she became a Christian. And then she says, and sometimes it starts to rise up when she gets frustrated or she can see something's not quite right. And sometimes what we do when we're on the path of world and what the church says, we start to dig up our old selves and things, our sinful nature starts to rise up. But why would we want to dig up a dead body? Why would we want to do that? Paul wrote in chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. Who can we live in any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, we too may have life. And new life. Have a look at the person next to you. Just have a look at them. They are amazing. They are fabulous. They have been made new in Christ. I look at all of you just smiling because I think you're all amazing and brilliant. And you've all been made new. You've been made new. You're a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. God has placed giftings, talents. He has given you so much in this new life. Now, for some of you, you're starting new lives from, you know, you've all come over from Hong Kong and that can be difficult and the transition difficult. But God has called you here for such a time as this. His plans and purposes are working out through you. Jesus answer to all that we need. The Holy Spirit gives us an assurance that regardless of the circumstances that we face, God is still our Father. He loves us. He wants to be so close to us. And I know that the Holy Spirit, we keep talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the flesh. In chapter 14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." So how do we react? How do we respond to challenges? I want to do a little bit of participation. I saw Joanna did a bit of group participation a little while ago. So, but I'm not going to get you to stand up. I'd just love you just to turn in your seats just for a couple of minutes and just think about it. When you face these day-to-day challenges, what is your response? What is your, what comes first? Is it a bit of anger? Because I do, I know that sometimes I get a bit angry. Or is there a little bit, or is it that Jesus help me? Okay, just have a little discussion, and then I'll pull it together. I just want you to have a little discussion. How do you react, how do you respond to different challenges on a day-to-day basis? Chat with your neighbours.
So when
someone tries to hurt my children or upsets my husband, I kind of double in size and I sort of go like this. And I'm like, I've got claws come out. I don't really have any claws, but my kids, like, they're to be coming out. And because I want to defend my family, I will defend my family, I will defend my husband, I will, yeah, don't go near my children, because that's kind of, you can go near my children, they are fine, but just don't upset them. Okay, although, feel free to challenge my children. We are family in this place, and I always say, feel free to challenge them, but just give me a heads up first, okay? Because it's okay. But anyway, one of the words I'm trying to get here is that our flesh rises up, but the Holy Spirit gives us assurance. It gives us that security that actually, when we say Holy Spirit, we can have rest in Him. We can know Him. But we can face those daily challenges. And when we are tested, it says here, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know suffering produces. So if we suffer, we can produce perseverance, character, character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit is a gift for us. He is a gift for us. It's love poured out to His Holy Spirit. So when we suffer, when we go in the mornings, okay, perseverance, character, I have definitely had, I don't know about you, sometimes I can have like little chips on my shoulders that need to be knocked off now and again. And it can feel painful, but that's my character being built. If you want to let the Holy Spirit lead your life, and you want to walk by the Spirit, it's that conscious choice every single day. As much as this world is independent, self-centered, all this stuff is all sort of being touted around, the approach is worldly. But when we are obedient, when we live selfless lives that are truly to the Christian calling, the Word of God, when we stick to what the Bible says, that selfless life involves less of us and more of Him. When we truly follow Him, when we truly accept the Holy Spirit, except Jesus, no. It brings joy, it brings peace, and it's refreshing. It's not burdensome, it's burdensome, sorry. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a power that comes when we can do the impossible for God. Where we are anointed, when the Holy Spirit works within us and rests on us, then God can work through us in a power that is not our own. Now I want to share a testimony with you of the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God at work in my life. In 2005, I was in a classroom teaching year 6 maths. I've come to school not feeling great, and probably a little caveat, I was pregnant, and I was sort of 7 months pregnant, and they're not feeling great. I then had to leave halfway through my maths lesson Because one of the ladies walked in and said, you need to go lay down, you're awful. So thanks. I lay down, I went to the staff room, I lay down, thought, I'll get up in a minute, I'll go. Next thing I wake up is Gareth waking me up in the staff room, saying, come on, we're going home. What happened was I started early labour. And Naomi, so this is the story of Naomi and Shakur. So at 32 weeks, I ended up going into labour. And it was a traumatic time. It was a really traumatic time. I was rushed in to hospital, I was in the hospital, my contractions were happening. And basically, end of story short, the doctor, long story short, sorry, doctor came in, examined me, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, there's a bell being hit across my head. And from two doctors in the room to, I don't know, lots and lots of doctors, I remember being pulled down a bed, rushed through some doors, and I can just remember, I was going out of consciousness, and I remember just saying to the surgeons, do not let my baby die. Do not let my baby die. And as I was going out of consciousness, before they'd even put me under, I was going out of consciousness. I was losing consciousness. Gareth and my mum were left in a room and praying. And Gareth prayed. And he prayed hard. And it's a little bit like a... It's a little bit like a chalk and cheese moment in that room. Yinka describes it as, there was Janet, so mum, worried about her daughter, her future granddaughter, yeah. And like in chaos, in like panic mode. And there was Gareth in the corner, calm, just praying. And so you all know Gareth, that he's always generally calm and quiet, okay? And I came round from, they had to put me to sleep, they were close to losing both Naomi and myself. But as I was going out, I remember such a mess going under. Where it could have felt so chaotic and fear. All I remember saying, just don't let my daughter die. Now Naomi was born dead. And they revived her, and she is, as you know, 17 last week and thriving. But we lost her twice. We lost her twice. 3 weeks later, she died again. And it was like, where are you, God, in all of this? Where are you in my chaos, in my day-to-day challenge? And the only thing God could say, the only thing that I could do in that moment was sing the song and be lifted high. Be lifted high. And that's all I could say over the end, because she fought for her life for quite a while. Was be lifted high. Holy Spirit come and rest on her. And I went to bed, but it was one evening, the night she'd been born, and the surgeon came and Mum Gareth went home and said there was no need to stay. And they came and said to me, she's not going to make it through the night. She's not going to make it through the night. And I just said, Lord, I can't move. I'm really struggling with my own fitness and well-being right now. She's in your hands. Holy Spirit, go and touch her body. I woke up the next morning and was told that she was still alive. Now, there is power in our words. There is power when we come to that place. I don't want to go to a place where I'm completely not out of control, because that's not what I've got control, but where I'm just so reliant. I want to be so reliant on God in the everyday today things, not just when it gets chaotic. Does that make sense? I want to be so close with Him. So as we let the Holy Spirit lead our lives, we're going to notice the fruits of the Spirit, of joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God works things together for good. We've been singing that this morning, the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit came. Jesus came. He met my daughter and he saved my daughter's life. He saved my life. And I thank God every day that we can stand together. God can do the impossible through you. And in the process of letting the Holy Spirit into your life, you reflect the beauty of life that is surrendered to him, that is empowered by him. Can we all stand? As I said right at the start, talking about the Holy Spirit can feel uneasy. It can feel uncomfortable. But if you let him do a work within you, that beauty, that empowerment that you get from him. So we're just going to pray this morning. Yeah, Father, we just want to pray. Let's pray first to be filled with the Spirit. As I said, it can be the Holy Spirit comes, it can be sometimes it's big and loud, but sometimes it's quiet. And you know what? I like the quiet Holy Spirit. I like the quiet Holy Spirit. So just lift up our hands. Father, we just want to thank you. And Lord, we just ask you to just fill us with your Spirit and our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the power and authority. It's yours. Father, forgive us where we've chosen to press in to other things rather than walking the path of truth. We surrender ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray that you'd be bold enough to walk by your Spirit. As we face these day-to-day challenges, when our flesh rises up, Father, may we choose to walk by your Spirit. Father, thank you. Can you say, for your presence and comfort in this moment? And I just pray this morning, Father God, that where we feel, where there is tension, Father, that you would just release that. You release that tension. You release those things that we're holding on to. Father, I pray that we would be a church that is ready to obey, that we'd be a people that are ready to obey. That we would step into the calling and the purposes on our lives. We just pray, Lord, that fear would be broken off our lives.
No cat.
Can be a joke. Where was your?
No cat.
And it all says there are some people here that are struggling with circumstances where they feel like they're banging on a door, but the door's just not open. And God just wants to say to you that you've just got to let go and let Him open the door. Let Him open the door. Stop trying to do things in your own strength. Stop banging. Take a step back and let Him open the door. So, Father, we just pray for this. Lord, where there seems to be like constant banging, we're constantly trying to do things our own strength. Father, I just pray that we would choose to take a step back to allow you to step in and make the doors. Father, thank you for each one of these beautiful people I am stood in front of today. Pray, Father, that you would bless them, that you would fill them, and that you would give them all that they need.
No way.
Where jobs are needed, Father, you provide jobs. Where homes are needed, you provide homes.
No way.
Thank you that you have empowered us to bring life. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. Now, the first finish time is